Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Damon Booth. Damon is the founder and CMO at Melibus. Thanks for joining us today, Damon.
Thanks, Maynard. Thanks for having me.
So you're looking in a very interesting place. We let our listeners know where you guys are based out of today?
Yeah, we're actually in a very, very small island called Malta, which is, for anyone who doesn't know, sort of in between Sicily, which is at the end of Italy, just in case you don't know where Sicily is, and Tunisia in North Africa. So it's a very, very small dot on the map. You have to really squint to see it when you're looking on a map.
That is so cool, man. So, I mean, you know, a lot of our listeners probably aren't educated on what the cannabis scene there in Malta is. Can you kind of delve into that a little bit? What's it look like over there?
Yeah, so they legalized for medical use close to 18 months ago now, I believe. About 18 months ago. So since then, they opened up to the EU market the potential for companies to come in, set up for grow, for export, import, processing, tolling, basically anything within the medical sector. Malta's too small to really be a grow place. I mean, people will grow here, I guess, but from a land scale perspective, you know, these guys can't really compete with anyone in Canada or the US on a scale perspective. But what they can do is offer a processing ability for Canadian companies, US companies to come into the EU market, which is obviously one of the biggest emerging markets within the cannabis sector.
Cool. Awesome. Can you tell me how Melibus plays into that and tell me a little bit more about Melibus, what you guys are doing there?
Yeah, well, we're based in Malta. In Malta and the EU at the moment, we're predominantly a tech company. We have a tech side and a cultivation side. Hmm. Our tech arm has built an AI-driven user app. So anyone who gets a prescription in Malta, there's a pilot running out probably in the next 6 months where our application will be recommended by doctors to the patient, and the usage of that patient will be input and tracked and, you know, registered. And we'll be able to tell them firstly that the medicine's working, how it's working, to a point of, you know, a year down the line, we'll be able to give real big data statistics on strains and in regards to the ailments. So we'll be able to say, you know, 86% of all males aged 50-52 use this strain to cure glaucoma, and you know this kind of data doesn't really exist at the moment. So that's what we're doing in Malta and Europe in general, because we're working with some other governments as well in Europe. On the cultivation side, we're actually based in Asia and Central Asia, and we're just sort of working with governments over there now. We're changing their legislation, their legalization of what's going on, especially in Southeast Asia now. It's pretty interesting. So we're kind of at the forefront there with a couple of governments, just making sure that everything's going to tie in with what we want to do as a business there. But also they're opening up as well for business. So we're there.
That's awesome. You know, it's, you know, we talk a lot about research and lack of research, and that's another thing. You know, how much data is pushing, you know, technology and, you know, data mining and, you know, the term big data. And obviously cannabis is nowhere near where we should be in that term. So it's exciting that Melibus is going to be a leader in that as well.
That's what we're trying to do. Yeah. I mean, as you said, it, people throw big data around a lot now as a phrase, but there is nothing in cannabis. It literally mm-hmm. doesn't exist. You know, you've got your strain prints, your leaflies, your apps that are recreational user based, predominantly for marketing and consumer angles, but no one could really give you statistics on a medical usage. And that's kind of how it's been a difficult process to get a regulatory body to approve an application like this. But now it's approved, you know, we can roll this out to other European countries. And we're also working with some people in Thailand as well to get this out in Asia. So if, you know, eventually if we can get 4, 5, possibly 6 countries in line and use it using our application, that's big data. Then you know, we can actually say we've got real official big data.
That's incredible. And, you know, obviously all new great beginnings have big barriers to break through. So it sounds like you guys have those barriers, but, you know, we need people like Melibus. We need you. And that's why we have you here on Dank Discussions, you know, is in order to bring awareness to people, you know, of the amazing things going on in the land of cannabis and here with big data. So it's very cool. So, you know, obviously everybody in the cannabis industry has a different why and what they're passionate about. You know, is there something that you feel passionate about that pushes you to keep doing what you're doing within the cannabis industry?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an interesting story how I got into cannabis. I don't like using the word serial entrepreneur, but I've delved in several industries now, been reasonably successful in those industries, had a couple of sellouts in finance and iGaming, which has been based in Malta. And just over a year ago, I was approached by some gentlemen from Israel who asked me about the Maltese cannabis space and, you know, how can we operate in there, etc. And they came over and I showed them around. We basically, they just showed me the light. I had no real idea about the industry. I'd invested in some stocks and, you know, I'd made some reasonable returns on this Canopy and Aurora, etc. But I had no real idea about the industry. And what really switched me on was a friend from back home in the UK was actually giving his son was diagnosed with neuroblastoma, which typically it doesn't have a high survival rate. Oh. And he was giving his son real cannabis oil that he was making himself. And, you know, the kid's now been in remission for about a year. He was given less than a year to live. It's been 5 years now, I believe. So he's really just opened my eyes up to, like, wow, this, you know, this isn't just a conspiracy theory on Facebook that you see. It's actually, you know, genuine. So that sort of woke me up to what the benefits of the actual medicine side of it was. But then obviously you still have to make money. So I was looking at it from a business perspective. Who do I know? What do I know? Took a little cannabis crash course, so to speak, for about 2 weeks, just trying to gauge the market. And I see Europe and certainly Asia as CBD being the immediate future, because, you know, these countries aren't regulatory set up for THC products as yet. It's not quite there yet. We're 10 years behind in Europe, I would say, to America or Canada. So what for me was the immediate money driver, because obviously we need to make money, but at the same time, what, you know, how can we sort of make a positive impact to the world as well? So CBD for me became the clear driver. So we started looking at countries we had good contacts in, a couple in Southeast Asia, one in Central Asia. We started looking at the landmass we could access to, and then we realized that we had a big opportunity to create very good quality CBD on a mass scale, which not many people are doing in the world. Some people in Colombia, but no one to the sort of scale that we're talking about in Asia. And also the positive impacts, you know, the green impact of having good CO2 emissions and replacing sort of paper and cotton and some of the other stuff you can do with hemp fibers at the end of the process of creating CBD. There's a lot of benefits as well that make me happy. But also at the same time, obviously, you know, we should be quite a successful company from a revenue perspective, which is, you know, also the real goal.
Always the real goal is the revenue, right? I mean, any business, you know, you can talk about, you know, the passion and helping push the envelope. But obviously, if a company's not making money, you can't succeed in doing it long term.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we're changing economies in the countries we're in. You know, we're bringing jobs, we're bringing higher ROI for farmers. So we are doing our bit. Like, don't get me wrong, it's great to have that positive impact, but yeah, if you can't make money, it doesn't make sense, unfortunately. So we have to make sure that we're profitable. We have an ability to really price gauge CBD, you know, below anyone else and still make good profit, and also have that high quality there. So we're in quite a unique position at the moment.
Amazing. Very good. So so very cool. So what, you know, what's been the biggest obstacle then that you faced there, getting Melibus going, and how you've been able to overcome it?
Governments, simple as that, really. You're every other business I've been in has either been B2C or B2B, and you're just dealing with, you know, you can get on the phone and speak to somebody, or you can, you know, go knock on the door and have a chat. With governments, you can't do that. And, you know, there's a lot of bureaucracy. There's a lot of red tape. You have to speak to 20 people to get one answer. And I mean, the good thing about Malta is it is small, so those doors are a little bit easier to get in, and it's a little bit easier to have these conversations because the government are on side. They want you to do business, you know. Any other European country, we would have probably struggled to get to where we're at now. So kudos to Malta, because you can, you know, it is very, very business friendly here. So we managed to get a lot of stuff done that we probably wouldn't have been able to do elsewhere. But it, you know, you think you've progress really fast and things are going great, and all of a sudden there's a government shutdown for like a month or something. This has happened to us in Asia, where you can't get hold of anyone and there's no progress. You start feeling a little bit, you know, wow, what are we doing? We have a time frame ourselves. We have timelines we have to hit and deadlines and stuff. And you're at the mercy of a government. It's a little bit difficult at times. It's a lot different to being at the mercy of just a client or a consumer, or to actually have to wait for a government. There's nothing much you can do. You can't really chase hard or send an assertive email or anything. You have to just kind of sit back and wait at times. And that's been my main challenge, because I like to move quite quickly, has been sometimes just having to sit on my thumbs for weeks on end waiting for a government to respond to a question.
Oh yeah, definitely. You mentioned the bureaucracy and having to deal with, you know, multiple, not just one country, but having to deal with all these different countries and combine and all the logistics and networking and everything. So sure, that's been a huge challenge.
Yeah, it's been the main issue, really. It's just timing. You know, we raising capital is always an issue, because you're dealing in countries where it's not America, it's not Canada, so investors are always a little bit more risk averse. We've managed, and we've succeeded with what we've done so far, but that's always been a little bit of a pain. But really, for me, the main challenge personally has been just having to wait at times for response and going through all the red tape you've got to do with working with governments directly.
Well, definitely, and. So cool, and what about within the cannabis industry? What challenges do you feel now, seeing it from not just from, multiple perspective, but now that you have this worldly kind of perspective and seeing, having investors in America and Canada and having to connect them in different places? What do you see, overall, the cannabis industry in the world? What kind of challenges do you see we're still facing?
I think the main challenge for everybody is going to be how countries end up become inclusive. So the EU, for example, they will become inclusive. They're going to make it very difficult for American and Canadian firms to just send their product over to sell. There's a reason Europe has its own GMP compared to the FDA or Canadian GMP. It's just very different. I mean, Canadian GMP is probably just as good as European GMP, but the EU won't recognize it. So they're going to make it as difficult as possible for this to happen. Now, we're quite fortunate because we're working in Asia. It's not really as difficult. But at the same time, some countries are just going to lock up and say, no, well, we're going to grow our own and sell our own to our own people. So I think that's going to be a problem. I think just people understanding what's going on around the world. I speak to people in Canada. I speak to some of the big companies, in Canada, some of the top guys that are working there. They just don't really understand what's going on in these other countries or even other geographical regions. And the times have been so good for Canadian firms and the US firms that they haven't had to try and understand it. And then they come over to Europe and I think they start struggling just with Europe as it is. Because, Europe is just like the States. Every country is different. Every country operates differently. There is no EU flat law. It's not like if federal government decides to just legalize fully, that's it, right? But Europe doesn't have that ability to do. So they have to rely on each country to sort of do its own thing. Now, the good thing is I think it's going to be fast. I think a lot of these countries want to move quickly because they don't want to be left trailing behind. But then that's going to be a problem for businesses as well, because what will happen is if they're going to make it more business friendly for a local company to set up and do business, what point is there of Aurora coming in to Germany to try and sell to Hungary, if Hungary is going to just set up their own shop? So that's the real problem. I think no one quite understands where it's going. The main reason we focus purely on Asia is because we just know that the market's so big there, and if we're at the start of that queue, we're good, because things will be great. And then as things probably do compress and become more I see this becoming more commodity driven. I genuinely think it's going to become like coffee or bananas or anything else, just sold as a commodity, and usually from the cheapest place possible. So that's kind of why we positioned ourselves in Asia. But that's what I see the real problem being, is just people just don't know what's going on and where it's going on and how and times or anything, and you get misinformation all the time. So I think the big firms, the top listed companies, they're going to be the ones that eventually just buy everyone else out anyway. But it's all going to be about supply chains in the end. And I think the supply chain issue is what the real issue is right now, is just how do people get products to certain countries and to ultimately the patients.
No, incredible. And you added so many moving pieces there, like I mentioned, you know, and, you know, talking about, you know, the big brands, the big firms coming in later on. Now, how does Melibus turn into one of those big brands and big firms, or protect yourself?
I mean, it's difficult. I'm really looking at the technology side of things and the end consumer side of things. Now, obviously, everyone's focusing on isolate, distillate. When we're only talking about CBD here, obviously, but people are just focusing on the end product being oil. Now, I foresee what's going to happen in Asia is it's going to become soluble driven. So, you know, infusions, the drinks companies, the cosmetic companies, that type of thing. That's where it's really going to be at. So we're already quite strategically placed with a few companies that are waiting for our product to be ready for that reason. So, because at the moment, from my understanding, and, you know, again, no one will outly say this, but you've got companies, say, like Coca-Cola, Red Bull, L'Oreal, who probably want to get in on the CBD market from a infusion perspective for drinks, or from a cosmetic perspective for creams. But there's no one out there that can satisfy a quality and consistent quantity. So, you know, there's probably not many companies out there. In fact, I don't think there is any at the moment. We hope to be one of them because of the scale of land we have access to. But ultimately, I don't think anyone can satisfy one of these major buy orders that are supposedly floating around. Because, you know, if you're Coca-Cola, you have to be, that CBD has to be the exact same every single time for the next 3 years, you know, and that level of quality and consistency for quantity of that scale is quite difficult.
Wow, that's really interesting. You know, you hear all the time that, you know, people just assume, I think, you know, and there are those rumblings, obviously, that, you know, there's going to be short demand and everything, but, or supply, but, you know, there's this assumption that, you know, once it's federally legal, then everybody's going to be able to put CBD in everybody's, but there's got to be somebody that's supplying all that, you know? So that's very interesting that you bring that up. Now, what can we expect from Melibus in the future? How are you going to, you know, create that? You mentioned all the land that you have.
It's purely a land issue. So, from my, again, you know, you'll forgive me, but my understanding of the US is, everyone focused on THC, no one really focused on CBD. So everyone, you know, was doing indoor grows, land scale, say, you know, 10 acres, not even hectares, like acres maximum. And that was the kind of land that most of the growers were working on. And then all of a sudden they realized, you know, shit, the CBD is quite big. We should be doing that. But then land is an issue because you need 10 times the amount of land, right? So everyone was scrambling around, and then the farm bill got passed, and you know, that now there's probably an overproduction, but not a very efficient overproduction, because they're not getting the buy orders, they're not getting the supply chains in place before they start just growing. You know, we looked at the supply chain before we've got seeds in the ground. We haven't even got seeds in the ground yet. So, but we've already got our supply chain set up. So that's what people, I think, messed up with massively in the US. And don't get me wrong, like, you know, they're still selling the products. There's still some companies are doing well, but a lot of companies are going to fail massively because they thought they could just grow it and not realize that they have to sell it. And they're not, you know, a lot of them aren't passing batch tests. And, you know, if you're going to try and go to Coca-Cola and you're going to try and sell them 10,000 kilos of isolate a month, then you better hope and pray that it's the exact same quality and consistency for all that period of time. Otherwise, they're not going to pay you. So this is the real issue, I think, is no one focused on the supply chain stuff. And that's where I think we can genuinely step in. Could we supply Coca-Cola? Probably not at the scale we've got right now, but could we scale up to that? Yes, definitely. The companies we're working with already are perfectly in line with what we can supply, though. So, you know, our production and capacity is effectively potentially already bought before we've got seeds in the ground. That's what a lot of people didn't really focus on.
Oh yeah, that's incredible. You know, I guess like you said, it's a timing issue, you know, and being able to scale at the right time. It seems like, you know, I think we're still a little bit away until Coke steps in and needs you know, that amount of CBD.
I think the FDA and the EU FSA, the Food Standards Authority, they need to get their shit together first and decide 100%. What it is. You know, what is it? Is it novel food? Is it this? Is it a food supplement? Is it, you know, they need to figure that out before a company like Coca-Cola steps in. But then the second problem for a company like Coca-Cola would be, as I said, finding a company that can genuinely provide X amount every month of the exact same product. And that's very difficult to do for any company right now. So we hope to be one of those, you know, first companies that can do that.
Awesome. Yeah, no, definitely. You know, getting a federal legal is one thing, and then, you know, the FDA, you know, they drag their feet for another 5-10 years. So like you said, they got to get their shit together there. Now, in terms of, you know, you mentioned the term, you know, entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur, whatever it is, you know, but the fact of the matter is that you've done this before and you have success before. Now, what does that word mean to you, actually, success? You want to find success for me?
For me, I'm not quite there yet. You know, we've had some success within the sector, but I'm not where I want to be. You know, I've got my own goals in mind. And if with Melibis, to be honest, I mean, Melibis would be my last major project, because if we pull this off and it all goes the way it should, firstly, financially, I probably won't have to work again. But secondly, I think I'll have finally achieved everything I possibly can do in regards to business. So I would then look at more, you know, how we give back and stuff. You know, it sounds a bit cliche and cheesy, but that, you know, for me, it's quite important. So I'd start looking at more things that we can do as a company for corporate social responsibility, that type of thing. And that for me would be the real success, is when you can finally go, do you know what? Fuck it. I've made so much money. Now we can actually just make sure that the company's giving back, or I myself personally is just giving back and doing what we can do. And especially when you're working in these types of countries that we're operating in, you know, it's some real adverse poverty. This is, you know, not just a homeless guy on the street. This is serious poverty. So, you know, when you see it on a daily basis, you become either immune to it or you want to change it. And, you know, I'm personally would like to change it.
No, that's great, because I think a lot of times it becomes, you know, that greed factor sets in where it says, how far can we push this? How big can we make this? You know, and we have a good, you know, string over here going on from these people, you know, and they're living in poverty already. So we might as well just keep it going. But that's great to have people like you there that are want to change things in the long run. So awesome.
I mean, I've got my figure in my head of where I'm comfortable and happy. And I think everyone's got that figure. And I think some people maybe get greedy when they hit that figure. But to be honest, I'd be done with working by that point. I'm kind of, you know, I've burnt myself out by that stage. So I'd definitely just take some time off and actually do all the sort of philanthropy, charity sort of stuff that we really want to do.
Awesome. Very good. So as we close then, how can listeners find out more about Melibis and connect with you?
For now, social media is the best. So we've got Facebook daily updates and LinkedIn as well. Our website's actually been updated, because I got a bit slack on it, really. We've been rushing around doing real work and not really focusing on how we push this out to the public. But now we're becoming more well-known and more people are, you know, checking us out and stuff. The website will be way more user-friendly in about 6 weeks' time. But for now, sort of Facebook, LinkedIn, we will be setting up a Twitter very shortly as well. You know, I'm quite big on interaction, so you'll see me commenting on certain things, especially on our social media.
Awesome. And is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners about Melibis before that we haven't covered yet?
No, I think that's really it. I mean, just keep your eye out for us. If you're on an actual business side of things instead of the consumer side of things, keep an eye out for us. There's going to be some definite synergies further down the line. We probably won't be consumer facing at any stage, because we're dealing more with bulk. We're not really getting into the branding side of things, because that's a, you know, different headache altogether. Mm-hmm. So for me, yeah, I mean, I typically would, you know, my audience is always on the B2B side of things.
Awesome. Very good. Well, thanks, Damon. Really appreciate having you on today.
We learned a lot. Thanks very much.
What you guys are doing in Melibis, and learned a lot about what's going on in the international cannabis industry, you know, and there in Malta and all around. So really appreciate you.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Awesome. Good luck to you and the rest of 2019 and beyond. Cheers.
Speak soon. Thanks.
We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptake in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us. Plans start at $248. Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's CALACANN.com, and follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.